I every time we get into the Word, you know, God just begins to show us something. And we should, when you pick up your Bible, you know, you should be praying that way. Lord, just tell me something I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what God wants. He wants to reveal himself to us. And I was reading this here in Paul's word to Timothy. Let me just read here if I can real quick. Unto Timothy, in verse 2, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, in a faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. I'm going to stop right there. Father, we just thank you this morning, God, for your word. Lord, every time it is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Father, it just begins to speak something to us every time, Lord, that we open it up. Lord, I believe that we can open it up, Lord, just anywhere. And all of a sudden, you just begin to reveal yourself to us. And Father, just speak to us today, God. Give us relevant revelation. Lord, give us something that we can take with us when we leave here, Lord. You know ahead of time what we're going to have need of. So, God, just begin to speak that to us now, Lord. And I believe you've got something good for us. We're going to claim it together in Jesus' name. 1 Timothy was written by Paul during his imprisonment in Rome. And it was kind of as a warning to Timothy about false teachers and some of the things that were being said and being taught. And it basically was a fulfillment of a prediction that Paul had made in Acts chapter 20. Let me go back to Acts chapter 20 and just read what Paul had predicted would take place. He said in chapter 20 of Acts, he said in verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." So they had even had a warning then. And Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. And he's leaving Timothy in charge at Ephesus. And he writes to, you know, this letter as encouragement to stay, to abide at Ephesus. And apparently, you know, Timothy had reached a point where, you know, he was ready to leave. Anybody ever get in one of those spots and you just can't wait to get out of? Quite in you. Nope. Get just, you know, maybe you got yourself in it, or maybe you just kind of stumbled into something and you just can't wait to get out of there. I hope you're not feeling that way in here this morning. I've seen people like that. They come into the church and you can tell, you know, right off the bat, they just can't wait to, oh my God. Well, you know, there was probably, and think about it, there was probably a number of reasons that Timothy, you know, didn't want to stick around. He didn't want to stay in Ephesus. You know, we can always come up with a bunch of reasons why we should do something that we know we shouldn't do. Anybody? Come up with a bunch of reasons why we... Anyways, he could have, maybe it was because he missed Paul. Maybe it was because he was intimidated by the challenge there in Ephesus. Maybe he was frustrated by the competing doctrines. Maybe it was because, you know, he was, you know, just ready to move on. But he wanted him to remain in Ephesus because they needed to hear the word. They needed to hear the truth, even though it was a hard place. He said in verse 17, he said, "Stay because you serve a great God." He said in verse 18, he said, "Stay, you cannot surrender in battle." And in verse 19 and 20, he said, "There were others that were in danger of turning aside to follow the false doctrine." What did he say? He said, "Vain jangling." That means useless talk, fruitless. You know, a lot of times you get into conversations, you know, that just, you know, aren't really, you know, fruitful. You know, I've been around people and they want to talk about everything but God. I loved it when I would get together with our family. My all of a sudden, you know, the family would get together and you start talking about the kids or this or that. And all of a sudden, my granddad would interrupt everybody. He said, "Let's talk about Jesus."
There you go.
And in Timothy, you know, he had to remain and continue to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified to them. And Paul even goes on a little bit further here and tries to encourage Timothy by telling him his testimony, you know, about how God had got a hold of him and made him a minister, somebody that was, you know, the bottom of the barrel, he thought. You know, somebody that had persecuted the Christians and somebody that was completely against, you know, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then God got a hold of him and began to encourage him with that. And he had already predicted, you know, the false teachers would come. But then he began to remind Timothy of something powerful. I was reading here in verse 18. He said, this charge I commit unto you, Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before you, that you by them might remain might war a good warfare. So this is telling us here, church, that there was a time before this that the Holy Spirit had prophesied over Timothy through others and obviously began to tell him about the future, you know, description of Timothy's calling and about his ministry and probably even some of the difficulties that he was going to face. The Holy Spirit prophesied this and spoke this, and now Paul's reminding him of this to try to keep him in that place that he knew that God wanted him. You know, I found out one thing, church, there is a purpose attached to our lives. That when we come to God through accepting Jesus Christ, we begin to discover the purpose that God has for our life. God begins to reveal himself and his purpose for us. You know, I read a story here not long ago about a young girl in Biloxi, Mississippi. She was about 25 years old, and she had reached a point in her life that she decided that she was going to take her own life. She was going to commit suicide. She felt that she had nothing to live for. And I read that she went to this bridge over the Mississippi River. And even though the water was frigid and the bridge was really high, she didn't know it, but there was a young man who was standing on the bank. And as she jumped off that bridge and jumped into the water, that young man saw her and jumped into the water after her. And the next thing she heard as she was sinking in that cold water in the Mississippi River, she heard this young man crying out for help. He had jumped in to save her, but he couldn't swim. So the young girl who was trying to take her own life goes and pulls him out of the water, saving his life. They called 911, and the local newspapers wrote about it the next day, ending with this line: that night, it wasn't the young man who saved her life. It was purpose that saved her. That was put in the newspaper. Instantly, you know, she had a mission. Here was somebody who didn't think that she had anything to live for until that moment. And suddenly she has a mission. And having a mission was what caused her to reach out and to save her life and his life. You know, we have to understand, church, our purpose is always something bigger than just us. Somebody listening to me. I was reading something over here in Genesis chapter 37. It talks about Joseph, and I love the story about Joseph. It talks about Jacob, his dad, and how he had a number of sons, and Joseph was favored. And it tells us here that Joseph found grace in his sight, in his father's sight, and his father loved him. And it said that he loved him more than his other children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph found favor with their father. You know, one preacher said that favor means that God has already prepared things ahead of you so that when you get there, you will walk right into it. He said, that's what favor is. Well, Joseph had favor and everyone knew it. This coat that his father made for him represented the favor that he had. It caused him to stand out. You know, his coat wasn't brown or gray or beige or something that would blend in. His coat was multicolored. You know, the grace of God is multiracial and multicultural and multigenerational. The Bible said that he's no respecter person. Isn't that a wonderful feeling this morning? So that when you see God beginning to move in somebody else's life, and you see God begin to bless somebody else, all you got to do, church, is remember in the Word of God that he's no respecter person. If he did it for somebody else, he can do it for you. And you know what, church? When the favor of the Lord is upon you, you can't hide it. You know, it wasn't like Joseph was trying to flaunt it. It was just, church, you know, that people are going to see it anyway. You know, we receive a degree of the favor the moment that we're saved. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied through knowledge of him. Knowledge of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. I found out, church, that favor helps in fulfilling our purpose. Luke chapter 2, it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. This was talking about before he even gets into the ministry as he begins to grow. Joseph, you know, his purpose began to be revealed. One day he goes and he has a dream. And he has a dream that he's out in the field. And suddenly he said, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose. It also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about you and made obeisance to my sheaf. He's telling his brothers this. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him even the more for his dreams and for his words. You know, this is what God's trying to show us here, church. I'm reading this, and these verses begin to show us something. It's talking here about a harvest. Our purpose is always something bigger than just us. So we can't be afraid, church, to speak out those things that God lays on our heart. When the dreams and the vision that God gives us, we can't be afraid to speak it out. We have to speak it by faith. You ever see people that were, after God blesses them, then they claimed all of a sudden, oh, I was praying for that. Somebody know what I mean? Before, you know, they received it, they were, you know, mum's the word. They weren't saying anything. But, you know, when they all of a sudden they begin to receive those things that they've been praying for and believing for, and they knew that God had for them, all of a sudden they start, you know, tooting their horn. Oh, I was praying for that. I was believing for that. I just knew God was going to do that. I may believe, church, that God would like us to praise him before we even see it happen. Oh, I believe, church, that God would like us to speak that out before we even see it happen. You know, when God begins to lay something on your heart, you need to begin to speak that. You know, I believe that God's going to heal me. Amen. I believe that God's going to save my family. Come on, somebody help me. I believe that God's going to bless this church, Pastor, in a great and mighty way. We've been praying that God would double the size of our congregation, and God is working. God's doubling. We know what God's able to do, church. I don't care if we have to build a new building or God, you know, give us something different. I'm believing that God's going to double the size of our church, make us an influence, give us favor. Amen. Anybody else? And I'm speaking it right now. This is what God wants, church. He wants us to speak it out by faith, those things that he lays on our heart to begin to believe him for. I don't want to be, I love to tell the story about my brother-in-law when he pastors a great church in Kansas. And when he was in Bible college, they had all the students that took turns on the prayer phone. They would have a 24-hour hotline that you could call in there and they would pray for you if you had a need. And so it was his turn to go in there one night late and man the phones. And he was in there, and he was praying. He was just waiting. And finally, the phone rings, and there was a lady that called him from out of state. And she said, I need you to pray with me. And he said, okay. He said, that's what I'm here for. And he said, what are we praying about? She said, well, I just wanted you to pray with me. She said, because my cat just died. And he said, okay. And he said, well, where is he? She said, well, I laid him out on the back porch. And she said, I want you to pray for him. And he said, I didn't know what to think. He said, I knew the responsibility that I had. He said, so I looked around and made sure nobody was, you know, coming around the corner. He said, I start praying, Lord, heal that woman's cat. Thank you, Jesus. So they go in there, and the next day they have assembly, and they all gather together, and all of a sudden the man that was in charge of it got up, and he said, okay, he said, somebody was on the phone last night, And a lady called in about her cat. And he said, I shrunk down in my seat. And he said, well, somebody who was on the phone last night, she called in about her cat that had just died. And he said that when you prayed, she said she went in and all of a sudden she heard the scratching at the back door and she opened the door and her cat is alive. And my brother-in-law jumped up in the middle of assembly and said, it was me. I was the one who prayed and got it. One of those things, you know, he wasn't going to take any, he wasn't going to, you know, didn't want anybody to know about it before he saw it take place. Well, Pastor, I don't want to sound, you know, we get to a point, you know, God wants us to speak that out. God wants us to begin to claim those things and proclaim those things. I'm believing God for a miracle. Anybody else? God wants to, and as we do, well, Pastor, I don't want to sound crazy. Well, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to see God move? How bad do you want to see God move in your home? How bad do you want to see God move in your family? How bad do you want to see God move in your finances?
Yeah, come on.
You know, because of Joseph's willingness to, you know, believe it and to share it, all of a sudden God gives him another dream. A bigger and a better one. You know, God's dreams are progressive. This is why that we're in the position that we're in right now. We're believing God this is going to be the most productive year we've ever had. Isn't that right? Because God's got more for us. And he goes on and begins to tell him his other dream about the stars and the moon. And all of a sudden, his father looks at him and said, are you talking about me and your mother and your that we're going to end up bowing down before you? And all of a sudden, you know, the brothers are mad and they're wanting to find a way to get rid of him. They even come up with a nickname for him. They call him the dreamer now. They don't even call him brother. They don't even call him Jeff. They call him the dreamer. Oh, here he comes. So finally one day they see him coming and they said, oh, here comes the dreamer. Let's get rid of him. So they go and the Bible says that they take him and at first they're wanting to kill him. Kill the brother. And then because of jealousy, anybody listening to me this morning? We got to watch how the enemy works, church, because he comes in a lot of different ways. He'll come in and try to make you envious, try to make you jealous, you know, try to, just because you see somebody else receiving. Church, I believe that, you know, my purpose is bigger than just me. Come on, somebody help me. So they go, church, and they get him. The Bible said the first thing they do is strip his coat off. You know, some of you might find yourself stripped of the outward appearance of favor. Quiet in here. You might get to the point, you might even, you know, find it hard yourself to see God moving in your life. Pastor, there's no outward appearance of favor. Might find yourself, they take him to church and they strip him of that coat, that, you know, that outward appearance of favor and grace. And they take him to church and they throw him in a pit. You might get to the point, you find yourself in a hole. Well, the pit might have been a well at one time. It might have been something that was cool and refreshing and a blessing, but now it's dry and empty. You know, like that place in your life that you are right now. Maybe you were doing real good, and maybe you had a great few years before COVID hit, or Pastor, and then all of a sudden it's just been dry, and it's just been hard, and it's just been difficult ever since. My life that was good, and my life that was fresh, and my life that had hope is now just, I'm in a place, and it's just dry, and it's just hard. Well, that's where Joseph ends up finding himself. You, church, when there's no external sign of a blessing or there's no internal sense of favor, a lot of times your purpose is just being tested. Somebody help me. You may look around and you may look at yourself and you say, Pastor, I can't even see anything, you know, anything good that's happening in my life. Well, hold on, because your purpose, your destiny may just be tested right now. Is that all right? You may be in a, I heard a preacher talking about one time, he said, you know, some people often think that a test comes to teach you a lesson. Well, when I was in school church, the teacher taught us and then tested us to see what we'd learn. I don't believe that the test is to teach me a lesson. I believe that the test is to see what I've learned. Come on, somebody. Joseph ends up being sold to a man in Egypt named Potiphar. But the Bible said that Joseph found grace in his sight. What's that word, grace? Unmerited favor. So even when he's sold into bondage, he finds favor with the man that he's sold to, and he puts him in charge of his whole house. What God has already prepared ahead of you, that when you get there, you walk right into it. That's favor. Potiphar's wife begins to take a liking to him also. She sees that favor that's on him, and she likes him, and she's attracted to him, and she tries to get him to make advances to her. He runs off, and she claims that he was trying to come and force himself upon her, so they take him, and they throw him in prison. But what's chapter 39 of Genesis 21 say? The Lord was with Joseph even in the prison. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Anybody listen to this? Didn't I just say here, church, that favor goes right along and helps my purpose? Because I got a purpose, and God's favor on me will help me fulfill that purpose and help me fulfill, reach my destiny. Here it is, church, every place that he goes. You know, and I find that as he's in the prison, he's not just, you know, just living out of his days. There's a butler and there's a baker in there. And the butler goes and he has a dream first. The butler goes and he has a dream, and he said, I don't know what this dream means, but he told Joseph about it. And Joseph said, oh, I know what it means. He said, in just a few days, you're going to be out of here. You're going to be released. You're going to be returned to your position. And he said, oh, that sounds wonderful. And then a few days later, he's taken out of jail and returned to his position. And then the baker comes to him and said, you know, I had a dream too. Must have thought, you know, he's going to get something good out of it, just like the butler did. He said, here's my dream. And Joseph said, well, here's your dream. In a few days, they're going to take you out of here, and they're going to kill you. And a few days later, that's exactly what they did. But you see what I find out here, church, as I'm looking at this? The Bible says that grace and peace be multiplied through knowledge of him. I see, church, that grace is multiplying in Joseph's life. Because now he's gone from dreaming to interpreting dreams. Come on, somebody, help me. So that's grace is multiplying. That gift of God that's within him is multiplying. And for 2 years, he told the butler. The butler says, is there anything I can do for you? He said, just remember me when you get out of here. And the butler gets out and has returned to his position, but forgets all about Joseph. For 2 years, he's stuck there. I can, you know, it's easy to stay where God has you. And when you know that he's with you and that he's giving you favor. Come on, somebody. You know, sometimes it may be difficult in that place that you're at, that dry place, where it seems like nothing's happening. Pastor, I'm in a place right now where my prayers are not being answered. I feel like God is a million miles away. The Bible said sometimes it seems like the earth is like iron and the heavens are like brass. Sometimes it seems like you just can't get through. But hold on. You know that you can stay in that place that God wants you when you know that he's with you. Come on, somebody. And that his favor is still on you. And the Bible said that after a couple of years, Pharaoh goes and has a dream. And he's troubled by this dream, and he doesn't understand what. So he calls his great wise men and asks them to interpret his dream. And they come in, and they don't know what it means. And all of a sudden, the butler says, oh, my goodness, shame on me. He said, I was in prison with a young man who was able to interpret dreams. They go and they get Joseph and they pull him out of the prison. And they go to church and he gets himself prepared and he comes in. And Pharaoh begins to tell him his dream. And he said, here's the interpretation of your dream. He said, you're going to have 7 really good years. 7 years of prosperity. And then he said, you're going to have 7 years of famine. So he said, you know what you need to do right now? You need to start storing up. You need to get prepared. You need to put some stuff in the storehouse for those 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh looks at him and he says, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen such wisdom and such knowledge. He said, the Spirit of God is in him. And he said, I'm going to take him, and he puts him in the second most powerful place in the kingdom. Anybody read your Bible? He makes him, church, the prime minister of Egypt. This is somebody who had been in prison. This is somebody who had been a slave. This is somebody who his brothers didn't want and didn't need and threw him into a pit. But do we realize, church, that this is just part of his purpose? Our purpose is always something bigger than just us. Joseph helped Pharaoh realize his dream before Joseph's came to pass. Think about that. He goes and he helps him realize his dream before his dream comes to pass. Somebody listen to that. So I believe that God's trying to tell us, church, we may be in a position where we maybe have to help somebody else, you know, reach their purpose before we can reach ours. Somebody listen to that. I believe, church, that I'm reading this, but in helping Pharaoh realize his dream, it helped Joseph's come to pass. Joseph made prime minister, and all of a sudden he's blessed, and he's in a position of authority in power. And while he's there, he's blessed with two sons. The first one was named Manasseh, which means making forgetful. The second son was named Ephraim, meaning fruitful. I believe, church, that we have to forget the past to become fruitful. Yes. Somebody listening to me. For you to go forward in the things that God has for you and the things that's still ahead of you, sometimes you've got to forget about some of the things that you've been dealing with. You know, you can't dwell in the past. You can't dwell on hurt. You can't dwell on that sickness. You can't dwell on the abuse. You can't dwell on your debt and become fruitful. This is something, church, and it just begins to show us some things here. I believe this is when Joseph, this is being worked out about him, about his family, about his brothers. I believe this is a sign that God is working in his life. Even all the things that he's gone through, I believe that there's a spiritual thing that's taking place in Joseph's life at this time. It's coming, it's being manifested through his sons. Oh, there's been a change here. I am able to forget the things that they've done to me. I'm able to put that past me. I'm able to see that God has been in this whole thing all along and is making me fruitful and is blessing me and has given me favor every place that I've been. Something begins to happen. Oh, a spiritual insight, a revelation. He's receiving something, church, receiving a healing. And I believe that there's, you know, there are times, church, that God wants to get a hold of us and begin to heal us. He doesn't want us, church, being held back by some of the things that may hold us back, by some of the things that have taken place in our life in the past. Because if I'm so obsessed with all the things that have taken place in my life in the past, how can I go on? How can this be the most productive year I've ever had if I'm stuck in 2022? Oh, I like what Jay says. He said, I left it all in 2022. He said, I left everything in 2020. You know why, church? Because we believe that God has got great things for us, and we are going forward in the thing. This is something, church, that he has placed in our hearts, something that a vision that he has given this church, that this is going to be the most productive year we've ever had. So I believe, church, that nothing should hold us back. It doesn't hold me back because I'm getting older. Somebody listening to me? Pastor, you're getting older. Some pastors are thinking about retirement now. I got a feeling, church, I'm going to be at this till Jesus comes. Woo! Pastor, how can you say that? Well, it's easy, church, because my purpose is bigger than just me. That's right. Somebody listening to me? The things that God has called me to do. And this is what we got to understand. And this is something that Joseph was beginning to understand here, church. And it was changing his life. It was healing him. Oh, and finally there comes a day that the famine takes place. And it's everywhere but Egypt. And so the famine has affected Joseph's family in Israel. They have to send the brothers down to Egypt because they heard that they had corn there. They got food there. They got more than enough there. So Jacob sends his sons to Egypt, and they come down and they don't recognize Joseph. He's been gone a while. They come down and but he knows them, and he sees them. And I love the story, church, how Joseph goes and finally, after a while, he begins to break and he reveals himself to them. And when they recognize that it's him, it does something to them. And he goes and the Bible says that he falls on them and he begins to weep. And he said, don't feel bad. He said, don't blame yourself. He said, this was all God. God put me in the position that I am. You know, the Bible says, church, that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Do we understand that, church? And this is what, church, God is wanting us to stay faithful. And God is wanting you and I to stay committed. And maybe this morning you're in a situation, maybe you're in a place right now that's miserable. Maybe you're in a place that right now, Pastor, my life at one time was real good. My life at one time was happy. My family was happy. Things were going great. And then all of a sudden we've hit that place where we just feel like we're in a hole and it's dry and it's difficult and it's dark. And it seems like we just can't get any breakthrough. But I'm going to tell you this morning, church, that God is still with you. The Bible said he will never leave you or forsake you. He will take you through the valley of the shadow of death. He will lead you beside still waters. When we have faith, church, no matter where God has us at that moment. See, your destiny, church, may end up, one of these days, you may end up with a big ministry. One of these days, you may understand everything that God had in store for you. Joseph comes and he finally has reached his purpose. His purpose was bigger than just him. And he realized that God put me here not just to save this a whole group of people, but even for my family. Sent me here to provide and to take care of my whole family. And I'm reading this, church, and I'm thinking that your destiny one day, see, you might not see it yet, but there will come a time that you will begin to see. And maybe you're starting to see it now, Pastor. It is difficult and it is hard, but I know God has more for me. I'm believing that this is going to be the most productive year I've ever had. I believe that God does have great things for me. You may end up, church, with a slow start. You may start off in life at the golden arches. My little grandson, he's prepared for that. I took a picture of him here the other night. He's prepared, you know, for whatever, you know, life has in store for. There he is. If you notice, he doesn't look real happy about it. But he's prepared for whatever God has for him. Church, it's not always going to be easy when you get the feeling that you've been forgotten or that you've been forsaken. Or maybe when you feel unfulfilled. Or maybe when you feel unfruitful. Well, Pastor, I've reached a point in my life I just don't see, you know, what God has in store for me. Well, Joseph, even in the prison, he probably thought, this can't be it. I know the dream that God gave me. I know the plans and the purpose that God has for my life. This can't be it. I believe this. This is what God's trying to show us today. Church, this is what Paul was trying to get across to Timothy. Timothy, I know that you're in a real tough place right now, and I know you've got a whole bunch of ideas why you'd like to just get out of there, and you'd just like to get out of the spot that you're in right now. But hold on, because I want you to be there. I put you there. God's put you there. He's got a plan. He wants you to encourage those other ones. He wants you to come against that doctrine, those fables. He wants you to continue to speak Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He wants you to continue to be the minister of the gospel that He's called you to be. He wants you to hold on and stay in that place that He's called you to be, because there's some of those other ones that are in a position right now that they're tempted to turn aside. But God's got you there, and God's got to put a word in your mouth. He said, I know that the same faith that was in your grandmother and was in your mother is in you. And He said, you're going to stand, and God's put a word in your mouth that's going to encourage those and cause those that are debating about leaving the faith to hang in there and to hold on and continue to believe God. Amen. Oh, anybody know what I'm talking about tonight? That's what I'm trying to do right now, church. Maybe you're in a position right now where you've heard all the crazy, because we're living in a crazy world. Have you ever seen a world like we're living in right now that can be so befuddled all week long? All they want to talk about it is a balloon. Can you imagine what it would have been like if it would have been a flying saucer? People wouldn't have left their houses. A balloon. And, of course, you know, the other country involved said they had nothing to do with that. I guarantee, though, that when they recover it, it's going to say made in China. God's put you in a place this morning. Just think about it. God cares about you. He brought you to this place today, church, just to cheer you up a little bit. Oh, He's given me a word this morning, Pastor, to let me know that even in my dry place right now, that place that once was refreshing, that place that once was so inviting, that place that I'm in right now that it's dry and it's hard and it's difficult, but yet I know He's letting me know this morning that He's still with me. He's letting me know this morning that He's still got favor upon my life. Letting me know, church, there's still a purpose and a destiny. He's not done with me yet. Remember, church, this morning, the test is not to teach you something, but to see what you've learned. Well, I've learned one thing this morning, Pastor, that my purpose is bigger than just me. Anybody else? Oh, I like what it said in Habakkuk. We wrote this out on our pieces of paper, kept it in our Bible. Still there, isn't it? I want you to keep it there until you see those things start to come to pass. Until you're able to check them off and check them off and check them off and say, God, this is the things that I know that you have for me. But it says in Habakkuk, it said, though the vision tarry, it will not tarry, it will come to pass. It may look like it's going to tarry. The thing that God has placed in your heart, the desires and the things that God wants you to believe for and to start claiming and to start speaking over. Lord, I believe that you're going to do this. Come on, somebody. I believe that you're going to heal my body. I believe you're going to save my family. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to claim. I believe, Lord, you're going to check. You're going to bless my finances. You're going to get me out of the hole that I'm in. I know that the purpose that you and the plans that you have for my life is bigger than the problem that I'm in right now. Anybody? So we sit here this morning, church, and I believe God has a purpose for me that's bigger than just me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. But Pastor...